This is the November 21st, 2024 regular board meeting for the Respiratory Board.
Approximately 9:06 in the morning, and we're calling to order our meeting today for the Respiratory Examiner's Care Board. Can we do a roll call?
Member Cota.
Here. Hi. Oh, sorry, I couldn't quite hear you. I'm sorry, that's Kimberly.
Member Cota.
I'm Laurie Ledley.
Member Brimhall.
Present.
Member Ledley.
I can't quite hear whoever's the private call on.
You're
going
to have to speak up into the
microphone,
Brian.
Thanks. Yeah,
I can. Member Ledley.
Is that Ledley?
Ledley.
Sorry, Ledley.
Okay.
Yeah.
Member Maryland.
I'm here.
Thank you, Brian. Chair Cota, we have a quorum. We can proceed with the meeting. Because we're on a teleconference, I would ask that we not talk over each other. And also, before you're ready to speak, if you could introduce yourself, that would help for the record. It would help for the audience. Chair Cota, the floor is yours.
Okay, so we have our roll call. Are there any declaration of conflicts or interest? I'm not hearing any declaration of conflict, so we'll move on down to, do we have any declarations of recusals? All right, then, do we do the call to the public now, or do we do that at the end?
Chair Cota, we can do it at both. Let me go ahead and read the paragraph for the call to public, and we'll see if anybody wants to address the board. The call to public is for those wishing to address the board. They do not need to request permission in advance to speak with the board. Each person wishing to address the board will be given 5 minutes to do so. The board can take action on matters listed on the agenda. Persons who wish to raise issues or concerns not on the notice agenda should be aware that the only procedural action that can be taken is directing staff to study the matter or schedule the matter for a future discussion at a later date. Is there anybody that wishes to address the board to call the public today? Any concerns or anything like that? We'll also give you an opportunity at the end of the meeting if you want to do so. We don't have anybody that wants to address the board, Chair Cota.
Okay, so I know you said you wanted to do the review of last meeting's minutes in the next meeting.
Yes, please.
Yes, please.
Can you hear me?
You can log in twice with that.
It's the extra roll call that I can't call in on the. I think it's the lines on that one, maybe.
I think it's the call.
Let us work on this for a second. Give us a moment. It's the private caller that logged in.
How's it now?
Better. Are you guys hearing an echo now? No, you just.
Okay,
missed.
So then we shall move on, and it looks like we're up to our informal interview.
Yes, this is item 7, possible rediscussion and possible action on your informal. Yes.
Now we're moving on to our informal interview, correct?
Yes.
You're muted, Jack.
You have your microphone.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. So, it is now 9:11 on November 21st, so this is the informal interview for Daniel Garcia in case number Daniel Garcia, are you present and are you represented by legal counsel today?
RCOT Garcia, are you here? Madam Chair, members of the board, I do not have anybody that is responding to the call. So he may not be here. Traditionally, in our assistant attorney general here today is Charlie Hover, and he can advise the board as well. Traditionally, what the matter is actually an invitation for the informal interview. Meaning,
my screen and audio froze. Hello.
Yes, hello.
I can hear you.
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, would you like me to proceed?
I can't talk anymore. Can anybody else?
No, I can't.
Do we want to get rid of video and just go phone?
Are you back, Jack?
Yes, I'm here.
Yeah, sorry, your screen just froze on us. You were saying traditionally we do what now?
Traditionally, this is an invitation where the respondent chooses whether or not to appear for the interview. If the respondent does not appear, the board will not proceed with you in an informal interview, and we will either need to reschedule it, or if the board chooses to send this to an administrative hearing to attempt to dispose of the allegations in the case. We have confirmation from our assistant attorney general that's the correct action procedure. So, at the pleasure of the board, do you want to try to reschedule it? Do you want to make a motion and a vote to see if we can hold it in an administrative hearing in this matter?
Hello, thank you. I think this is just my input on this, Daniel Garcia. I think I would like to see him come before the board to kind of explain himself. I think that we have information. And there's a lot of questions, so if we can invite him to maybe our next board meeting, that's what I would definitely propose, because there's a lot of questions that we can't really go off of he said, she said, of some of this information at this time. And it's unfortunate because he wasn't mandatory to show up today, but it would have been nice for him to show up.
I agree with that. So do we need to make a motion and a second for that?
Yes.
I'm going to do a motion that Daniel Garcia be invited at a certain time given for the next convenient board meeting. We have to give him 30 days, is that correct, Jack?
Yes,
I believe it's 35 days.
Yes.
Okay. So as long as we meet the guidelines and the notice for him to have notice and he has it, date and time for the next board meeting, that's my motion.
I'll second Lori Medley.
Okay, so we have a motion and a second. Shall we do a roll call vote?
Yes.
Member Brunhall?
Aye.
Member Reedley?
Aye.
Member Cotto?
Aye.
Member Maryland.
Motion passes. We will invite by the next appropriate board meeting, which will most likely be January, because of that 35-day notice. Staff that plan to send it out certified by a regular mail, and again by electronic mail to try to send that to the HEA. Thank you.
Okay, so now we'll move on to Yvonne Crumley, case number 2022-RCE-0173. Yvonne, are you there?
Madam Chair, I have no hearing.
So we need to do the same as we did for the last case. case and vote on our plans as there as well.
Madam Chair, members of the board, this is actually a little different part of the proceeding. This is one where the staff is recommending an informal interview due to the allegations that are in the case. It's up to the board whether or not you want to hold an informal interview or try some other disposition if you feel it rises to the level of a possible disciplinary action, an informal interview would be appropriate. If you feel that it does not rise to that level of a possible disciplinary action, you have alternatives as far as non-disciplinary actions in the form of a letter of concern or even possible dismissal of the case at this time.
So when I was reading through the materials on this one, I don't know if we necessarily need disciplinary, but I do have some concerns as it looks like we might need to discuss this with her. So I at least would like to maybe do a letter of concern on this one. Any other thoughts?
Madam Chair, members of the board, would it be appropriate? Do you want me to give a brief description and summary of the case and allegations to the board?
Yes, please.
Thank you. This is a case number 2022-R-0173. RCT Crumley has been licensed with this board since 2015. The license is currently set to expire February 15th, 2026. Current employment reported at St. Joseph's Hospital in Tucson. This particular RCT has one non-disciplinary action in her district area of 2020 for a continuing education audit, and I do not have any reported criminal history. RCT Crumley self-reported an employment termination that occurred on November 16th, 2022. She stated that I was terminated from the hospital in August 2022 from this contact for getting into a verbal confrontation with an RN who had touched a general area without an order, and both parties of that conversation were terminated. She did say that I'm not sure if I need to report this or what would be the next step after reporting the incident. Your board materials will further provide more of a narrative and her response to the initial allegations, which was a two-page response. And did Zintina receive some records from the hospital. The fact that I had a report for that she was terminated because of this verbal confrontation with the RN. I don't have anything further on this question.
Any other questions? Okay, so it doesn't sound like there's any questions, but I personally would still like to hear her side and have her come in and talk to us, or however that works, a little concern, something to that effect. Anybody else?
This is Board Member Marilyn. I'm looking at the notes that he provided for the sponsor situation. It's pretty detailed of the argument that occurred between her and the RN in the response letter. As if anyone can see that. Okay, at the very bottom, I'm trying to see the date on it. I don't see a date on it, but it's provided in our information packet as far as what occurred on the night of July 31st in her own words. So I think that helpful information has to be evaluated, particularly how these dates of actions were to protect the patient versus the decision of the RN in a moment.
This is Becky, and I do feel that she did self-report and she did share all the documentation. And I think that, you know, to be terminated from a hospital, and also the other individual was terminated, and also there was no patient harm. We definitely got documentation on that too. I just feel at this time, I think she's had enough consequences of, you know, reporting it, because that's her responsibility. Losing her job, so she definitely had to disclose that, and then, you know, if she had to go find some other job somewhere else. And she does not have any discipline in her file that we see. So I guess my concern might be just to be dismissed with, because I think she's probably had enough learning experiences of behavior, and then to maybe, you know, learn some new coping skills.
Okay. So is that a motion to dismiss?
I'm going to do a motion to dismiss this case, because I think that she informed the board. She did everything that she was supposed to do.
And I'll second that.
Okay, so a motion and a second. Roll call vote.
Member Brimhall.
Aye.
Member Ledley.
Aye.
Member Cohen.
Aye.
Member Maryland.
Aye.
Motion to pass for dismissal. Thank you.
So now we're moving down to section B. There's a staff recommendation for non-disciplinary orders of probation. Action may include rejection of the recommendation and the offer of a disciplinary consent agreement, issuance and letter concern, dismissal, referred, and informal interview or administration. So on these ones, when I was looking through the material, it looks like these are all CEU based. Do we have anybody here for them, or do we need to go through these individually?
Chair Kiroda, I will ask the audience if there's anybody here. We don't have anybody signed in. My only comment is that yesterday on B1, which is 2024 RSC 129, what about Anthony Gibbs? He did provide additional CEUs at the time frame. So that was a change the staff recommendation to a letter of concern instead of a non-disciplinary order. Is anybody here for, anybody signed in or here for anything in item 88D that did not sign in? Did you not tell anybody? Do I address the board?
That's a motion.
I'll second the motion. This is Kimberly. Roll call vote.
Marilyn. Kimberly Marilyn.
Coda. Member Brimhall.
Aye.
Member Coda.
Aye.
Member Leadley.
Aye.
Member Marilyn.
Aye. Thank you. And if Board Coda, if you could, Chair Coda, I'm sorry, if you could address B1, the staff recommendation on that one is for a letter of concern. I would appreciate it.
Okay, so for on section B1, Guadalupe Dominguez 2024 RCE 129, we are wanting to do a letter. What is that again? I'm sorry.
Letter. It's a letter, a non-disciplinary letter of concern for failure to comply with continuing education within the time I'm in there.
Okay, so a letter of concern. If we could get a motion and a second on this one, and I can do the motion to issue that letter of concern for untimely, sorry, what Jack said.
Failure to completely continue education in the time I'm in there.
Failure to complete in a timely manner. Do we have a second?
I can second.
So a motion and a second. Roll call vote, please.
Member Coda.
Aye.
Member Brimhall.
Aye.
Member Leadley.
Aye.
Member Marilyn.
Aye.
Motion passes. Thank you very much, my letter of concern. Chair Coda, the next section, subsection C, we do have three people present. If we can take those first. The first one is C8, which is 2024 RCE 164. I'm going to try this name. Is it Beza Brooks? Would you like to speak to the board about this? Chair Coda, members of the board, normal procedure is that staff will read the investigative summary and then allow the RCRC to give any comments they want, and then you can deliberate and discuss after that. We're handling some technical things, and you're prepared for 2 minutes. Staff sent a letter to the RCC Brooks on April 17th of 2024, notifying her of his deficiency. There was some correspondence back and forth, but then the matter is not 100% resolved on April 28th, 2024. She was notified by the planning commission she was required to respond to the appropriate time. Sent in additional CDs that they're taking outside of the renewal time frame. That is why staff is recommending a letter of concern that she did complete all the CDs notice after the renewal time frame. I don't have anything further unless you have any questions.
Okay, any questions? Okay, no questions. So, Ms. Brooks, do you want to go and take a couple moments and let us know what you want us to know?
I did send in my CEUs in November 2023, and I guess I misunderstood the ACSS coming on from the tickets. But since then,
I apologize if I can have you pause 1 second. I think we need to unmute her mic and mute yours, Jack, because there's a real bad echo. I apologize.
Is it better now? Is this Evan?
Yes, I think that's much better. I apologize. Thank you.
Can you just turn off the video?
They're going to need to call in.
Okay. Is that feedback coming through the board? Is that echo coming through the board member?
Yes, the echo's back.
Let's try something else.
Give us another one, please.
Testing. Can the board members hear us?
Yes, I can hear us. This is Becky.
Okay, so
any other questions for Ms. Brooke?
Well, and this is Becky. I guess my question is, if you look at short 2 hours of ethics when you submitted your renewal in that time span for your renewal time frame? Were you aware that you were short 2 credit hours in ethics when you renewed your license?
No.
And you understand that there are certain CUs you have to have, and then you have in person, and then you have the ethics also.
Yes.
I have no further questions. Sure.
Okay, so it sounds like there was confusion about you didn't realize there was a couple ethics, but now you do realize that. So do we have any motions for this?
Sure. Becky, I'm going to do it.
Go ahead.
Oh, go ahead.
No, no, I'm just not sure I understand. Can we make a motion to dismiss this?
Absolutely.
Okay, I'd like to make a motion. This is Lori Ludwig to dismiss.
I'm going to second.
So we have a motion for a second. Shall we do a roll call vote, please?
Board Member Marilyn, is there a board for discussion?
We have a motion and a second, but Ms. Marilyn would like to discuss. Is it too late to discuss? Are we okay to discuss?
Yes, sure. Yes. Yes, yes, you're okay to discuss.
I can hear through the reverb. Did you say yes or no?
Yes, you're allowed to discuss. Go ahead, okay. Ms. Marilyn.
Okay. I just wanted to note, it shows that there had been previously attended a board meeting in July, and all the information was provided, and it's noted that in this meeting, we were limited to basically to one option because of when the renewal paperwork came in. This information is dated October 30th, 2024.
Chair, Chair, voted on the board. Basically, when staff continuing education audits are after the respiratory therapist has renewed their license. So we're auditing continuing education hours back 2 years to see if they've completed 20 hours of continuing education in the appropriate areas. The requirement in the administrative code is that they have 20 hours of continuing education within a renewal time frame, of which that 20 hours includes 5 hours of live CPE and then also includes 2 hours of FX. In this particular case, as the respondent testified, she did not realize she didn't have all the hours in appropriate categories. After she was notified, she went and took the appropriate hours and submitted it 2 months. So that is why we have an allegation that continued education was not completed. However, the board has discretion to dismiss it. They don't know if it rises to the level of the letter of concern. And they also have the discretion to issue their letter of concern, which is a non-disciplinary action, which puts the respondent in a position they not gotten in the future. I hope that answered your question, Board Member Marilyn.
Yes, it does. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, so shall we return back to motion?
Board Chair, Cody, we have a motion and second on the board for dismissal of this particular allegation. I'd like to have a roll call vote at that appropriate time, Mark.
Yes, please. Can we do a roll call vote now?
Member Lee. Member Lee.
Aye,
President.
Yes.
Member Brimhall?
Aye.
Member Cota?
Aye.
Member Marilyn?
Aye.
Thank you. Chair, here, members of the board, next item for which we have something to make present is C13. I believe our RCRC Breeder Barnes is here. Would you like to address the board?
Yes.
Chair, we have a 5-minute break to see if we can resolve all side of the issues.
Yes.
What's this?
For just about 5 minutes.
Yeah, just about 5 minutes. I have 9:40 run right now. If you can just give us a couple minutes to work on this, I would appreciate it. Thank you. Situation and environment is resolved in this. she is here today, she is murdering herself on the trash back and forth door. I do not have anything further, or do you have any questions?
Okay, so no questions. So at this time, Ms. Rita Lawrence, would you like to give us a little information? Let us know what you would like us to know about this.
Yes, thank you. I am quite embarrassed. I'm very disappointed in myself. For 43 years, I have met all requirements for my license. At the time I submitted my CEUs, I totally missed that I only had one ethics. I'm well aware of the required CEUs that need to be maintained and turned in every 2 years.
Now that you muted your struck, we can't hear her at all.
Okay.
From the top.
Sorry.
I'm very embarrassed and disappointed in myself. For 42 years, I have maintained the requirements for my license. I did not catch that I had one ethics. I'm aware of all the required CEUs for every 2 years, including the 2 hours of ethics. Previous years, there have been 2 hours for the conferences. I have no excuse. As soon as I learned of this, I completed ethics, and I'm here now, embarrassed and asking for forgiveness.
Okay, thank you so much for that. Board members, do you have any discussion you'd like to do or any questions?
This is Becky, and I think I'm going to do a motion because I think that RCP came present, and she came prepared. She's taken responsibility, and she ratified the credit hours, and so I'm going to do a motion to dismiss.
I'll second.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we have a motion and a second. Roll call vote, please.
Member Brimhall.
Aye.
Member Ledley?
Aye.
Member Cota?
Aye.
Member Maryland?
Aye. I was instructed.
Motion passes.
Motion passes for dismissal. Yes, yes.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much for coming.
Thank you.
That's sort of the law of our respiratory therapy.
Yes. Thank you.
Tamita, should I say that afterwards, like motion?
Yeah.
Okay, that's fine. You can say motion, Karen.
You said we have a third person who's present?
Chair, we have C14. I believe it is Raymond Romero who's present. Do you have any other questions? Okay, one of them. Let me find my material resources. Members of the board, this is case number 2024, RCC 252. We are involving RCC Ramirez Romero. RCC Romero was licensed by us on September 18, 2018. That license is currently set to expire on 16/2024. Last order This is all failing to communicate on it. Board staff identified deficiencies in 1 5-hour communication to notify RCC Romero this on July 26/2024. We subsequently filed a complaint on October 28, 2024. You responded to notification within the appropriate timeline and set that additional hour that will take the outside of the normal timeline range. I do not have anything further. Our team member is here to address the board with this side of the story. And thank you.
Okay, thank you. So, Mr. Romero, would you like to give us some little information, a little background, what happened?
Yes, so I was due on May 10th, 2024 to renew my license, and I thought I provided my hours, but I was short 1 mile. When I provided my license, it was when the new system went live. When I saw there was live auditing, I wasn't flagged on my end that anything was missing. So when I submitted,
We can't hear.
When I submitted the payment to the CEUs, I got a confirmation email that it was accepted. And a week or two later, I got a confirmation email that all CEUs were accepted and there was no issues. As far as I got the claim in June or July, I was unaware. When I got my notice in October, that's when I initially started responding.
Okay, thank you for that. Any discussion? Okay, so it doesn't sound like we have any discussion about this, so I will go ahead and make a motion, because you did submit the missing requirement, right, Jack? You submitted the missing hour?
That is correct, correct.
Okay, so at this time, I'll go ahead and make a motion to dismiss.
I'll second. Ready?
So we have a motion and a second. Can we get a roll call vote, please?
Member Cota?
Aye.
Member Ludley? Member Brimhall?
Aye.
Member Marilyn?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Case dismissed. Thanks for coming down to the appreciate it. Chair Carroll, we have the option. We have other people that are present for subsequent sessions. We have a lot of people here. Do you want to take those first, or do you want to try to address the rest of the cases in session C on the agenda?
I'm good with going ahead and let's see the other people who are there live. So I'm good with that.
Okay. We're going to go to agenda item D1. Which is case number 2023-0173, Kristen Bowman. Is present. Thank you for coming down today. My final interior is. Give me a moment, please. My computer is switching on here. This is KTM 2023-0173, If you recognize that taking over this is something we were seeking back in 2021, however, since over the last year, we're going to start taking the amount of address the notes over 2 years old. This particular case was an initial allegation that RCC Coleman had prescribed by the minister of Buterol to a family member. It's further complicated that the allegation happened in the middle of a custody dispute. RCC Coleman did reply to the complaint within the required timeline frame. And I'd like to highlight to you paraphrase of this response real quick. Let me give you the initial complaint that we have received. The initial complaint stated that the relationship to the children in the custody reported to the board alleged concern about the unnecessary administration of overall treatment in two stepdaughters. My husband, father of both children, I received a group text from our sergeant home stating that his husband, Brady, had a fever November 5, and it goes on to state that the Bureau was administrator for breathing treatments. And there was also a prescription for that overall. RCC Coleman did reply in the appropriate time frame to the initial allegations and gave her side by a story. And I let her tell the board what her thoughts and paraphrase her response. Because of the time frame and the response from the respondent, this staff recommendation on this particular case for dismissal.
Yes, I'm rather upset about the situation as it slandered my character. I did not remain on vacation because I was stealing this out of the girl from the hospital, which is not true. And I submitted the prescription that I have for myself.
Anything else you'd like to add?
I also have letters from my employers telling them that this is not my character and that all of my medication audits and everything has been returned promptly. There's been no history of stealing medication.
Thank you very much.
So do we have any discussion, board members?
So Betsy, I'm gonna do the staff recommendation for dismissal, and that is a motion.
And I'll second, Medley.
Okay, so we have a motion and a second. Roll call vote.
Member Brimhall.
Aye.
Member Ludley.
Aye.
Member Cota.
Aye.
Member Maryland.
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you very much, everybody. And the case is now changing for this business.
Is there another one that we need to discuss?
No. Chair, go ahead, number four, board. And that case is number 446-324-4-7-E-3-3. Thank you. This is case number 2020-24-RCE-2230, involving RCC Moza. RCC Moza has been licensed with us since 2020-2006. place the current permit to expire on March 3rd, 2026, at Blackford Employee Houses, the Indiana University Hospital. Tucson, I do not have any complaint place for screening, or was there a criminal on the screening search. The main allegation is that the case has failed, continuing an education audit. Board staff had originally identified deficiencies 2 hours in education. The restoration was notified in March 2024 of the deficiency. He responded to that notification in a timely manner, and submitted the required education that had been completed within the appropriate time frame. Staff is recommending this dismissal on this particular case.
I just didn't know that CE was not valid, and I just didn't know. So
very, very good. Thank you for coming down to the meeting today. Very, very much, very good. Chair Cody, member of the board.
Yes, so he already made his little statement. Is that what it sounded like?
Yes. He didn't really have much to add to the summary. He just didn't realize that it had not been sent in, and when he was notified by that, it sent in into it.
Okay,
I can make a motion for dismissal.
So we have a motion, and I will make the second. This is Member Mahoda. So the motion and a second. Can we get a roll call vote, please?
Member Ludley.
Aye.
Member Cota.
Aye.
Member Brimhall.
Aye.
Member Maryland.
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you. The last person I have in attendance with me is RCP Tara McMarvel. This is KT2024-RCP-2667. It is 153. That's agenda item number 53. Morning. Thank you for joining us. This is KT2024-RCP-2667, involving Rosemary Fairfield, Carol Carver, former license number 9855. It's been licensed with us since February 17, 2011. That license is currently set to expire on July 12, 2024. Last reported to where I have select specialty hospital. No complaint place for screening, no one which we found. The allegation in this case was a failed communication audit. We had originally identified deficiency of 5 hours after receiving the notification of that deficiency. She responded in October 1st and sent in the missing continued communication hours, which had been completed within the appropriate time frame. Staff is recommending dismissal of this case because there's no violation that we have identified.
I uploaded the incorrect document for my ACLS, which I then corrected. So that was $25.
Very, very good. Board, did you hear that response?
Yes, I did.
Thank you.
Okay, so since the CEUs were uploaded correctly, I will go with the board's recommendation and I'll put in a motion to dismiss. Do we have a second?
This is Becky, I'll second.
So we have a motion and a second. Can we please do a roll call vote?
Member Cota.
Aye.
Member Brimhall.
Aye.
Member Ludley.
Aye.
Member Maryland.
Aye.
Motion to dismiss carries.
Sure, I don't have any additional present. That was the final one of the additional items. We can go back if we left off at Item C on the agenda.
Yes. Are all of these where we could do a block vote again or no?
It is agendized for a block vote. If you choose to do that, or we take them individually if there's questions or concerns or very much for the closure.
I am good with a block vote. Does anybody on the board have any questions or concerns?
No.
Is that a motion? We have the motion and second.
Yes, we'll have to make a motion in a second.
Chair, if you don't mind, our Assistant Attorney General would like us to identify the number on the agenda for the block vote. I can attempt to help with that if you want.
I think I have it because the ones we already went through was the C8, the C13, and the C14. So those would be the ones we'd have to skip if I'm not mistaken.
I believe you are correct. Right.
Okay, so these have been recommended to do an offer for disciplinary consent agreement. Is that correct?
This is subsection C. Is that document recommendation non-disciplinary letter of concern? So all the items in this particular section are continuing education audits that we identified deficiencies and the respiratory therapist completed continuing education after the 9-9 frame, and we are recommending a letter of concern as a resolution for that continuing education deficiency.
Okay. So I'm just getting my notes here real quick. If you'll forgive me for one moment. Okay, so I will go ahead and make a motion to do non-disciplinary letter of concern for items C1 through C7, C9 through C12, and then C15 through C16.
I'll second that.
So we have a motion and a second. Could we do a roll call vote?
Member Cota?
Aye.
Member Ledley?
Aye.
Member Brimhall?
Aye.
Member Maryland?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Is there anything in particular we need to know about Section D?
Sure. We have another number of reports that are not the same situation. Education audits that we identified by the CCD and the respiratory therapist subsequently sent us a continuing education and passed the audit after our normal finding getting the same block of audit in the future.
I'll make the motion to do a block vote.
This is Becky, I second.
So clarification purposes of that, I'm going to reread the section number and then the numbers of the agenda items that we included for the law. That's okay.
Yes, please. Thank you.
So this is subsection D, item numbers 2 through 45, 47 through 52, And 54 through 57 for the last result, voted on subsection D.
Thank you for that, and we do have a motion and a second, so can we get a roll call vote?
Who's the second?
Member Ledley?
Aye.
Member Cota?
Aye.
Member Brimhall?
Aye.
Member Maryland?
Aye.
Excellent. Thank you very much for the block vote of dismissal. Chair Cota, I have, we have, we have a respiratory therapist that has arrived from the ED. We've already addressed the item. Daniel Garcia, case number 2023-RCE-0061, has come to the ED. It's up to the board whether there's, you want to try to do that in a formal interview today. You would send something to back and
what's the wording where you're right? They would vote up to the person who offered the motion, you would offer a motion to rescind the previous motion and action. The person to second that. For each would vote as to whether or not they were to rescind the previous action.
Did the board hear that?
It started echoing again, so it's hard to understand.
Okay, let's try that again.
Members of the board, you have two options. You can vote to continue with and maintain the previous action, which was to move this matter to formal hearing at the next available appropriately timed board meeting, or if you wanted to move forward with the notice informal interview, the person who had made the motion to continue the matter would move to rescind that motion. The person who offered the second would then state her agreement or objection. If the second was also in agreement, then each member could vote as to whether or not they wanted to allow rescinding the motion this in the formal hearing, or whether they'd like to maintain that.
I'll make a motion to rescind the previous. Yes, what's the word? Sorry. Maybe someone can help me. I'll make the motion to rescind the previous motion.
And I will second this with Becky.
Okay, so we have a motion and a second. We'll do a roll call vote.
Member Ledley?
Aye.
Member Brimhall? I'm sorry, Member Brimhall?
Did you say Brimhall?
Yes.
Yep, aye.
Member Cota?
Aye.
Member Maryland?
Thank you. So that effectively rescind and require a motion for formal hearing. And if we can have a respondent in the university. Thank you very much for coming down to that. Chair Kelly, I've done this before. This is an informal hearing review. It's a little different kind of proceeding, and what I would do if we want, we can do one of two things. We have a couple of board members that may have not been through an informal interview. I can give you the investigative report, summary, we can start our discussion. Informal order, we do have a script. Chair Cota, I've been able to send to you, you can use that script to start our informal interview.
Okay, thank you. Okay, it is now approximately, 10:15 on November 21st. This is an informal interview of Daniel Garcia in case number 2023. RCE 0061. Daniel Garcia, are you present and are you represented by legal counsel today?
I am present. No legal counsel.
I'm sorry, I couldn't quite hear you. I heard that you're present.
I am present. But... yeah, no legal counsel. Just me.
Oh, okay. So I am board member Kimberly Cota. I am just pretending to be chair today. I will call on each board member to introduce themselves and state their specific roles on the board. Also present today are the board staff and Charles Hooper, who is the board attorney. So board members, would you please introduce yourself and your board position as we do a roll call? We'll start with Ms. Brimholm.
I'm Becky Brimholm, I'm board member.
Thank you. Ms. Legley?
I'm Lori Legley, board member.
I apologize for missing your last name a little bit. I apologize. And our other board member present today, Ms. Marilyn? Can you please state your name and your position?
Regina Marilyn, board member.
Thank you so much. This proceeding is being recorded, so everyone must speak loudly and clearly, and only one person at a time is permitted to speak at a time. Mr. Garcia, you have been noticed of the matters to be discussed today and possible actions the board may take at an informal interview. Is this where we have you give us the information, Jack? Okay. The purpose of this informal interview is to conduct an evidentiary hearing to inquire into the facts and the circumstances of this case. Board members have reviewed all the materials and any additional submissions. If it is necessary to refer to clients or patients during the interview, please do so only by initials. And I will read the allegations of the informal interview notice and then we will interview you. In complaint number 2023-RCE-0061, it is alleged that you have engaged in unprofessional conduct, including but not limited to possible violations of the following. So, do you have those possible violations for us, Jack? Because I don't have them up on my screen at this time.
Madam Chair, Chairman's report. This is, I'm going to read something for a moment. I know this that was originally sent out in Mr. Gates. Possible violations for disciplinary action from the ARS 3335-5283. Which is anybody who commits an act on professional conduct. In this particular case, unprofessional conduct is alleged by ARS 3235-01, subsection 9. And that includes gross incompetence, repeated incompetence, resulting in injury to patient, any conduct of practice which is contrary to the rights and ethics of the respective profession. Or conduct of the process which does or might constitute being made to the health, safety, welfare, or safety of the patient or the public. And then subsection K, by an attempt to comply by directly or indirectly or assisting or deadening the violation of or conspiring violated the division of the chapter. On that such conduct that is in this particular matter, I was alleged under AACR 445-214. Conduct that practices in my grant standards and ethics and runs referee for the profession, which it could be engaging in practices as a regular in their karma to harm our patient or fall below the community standard, endangering their patients or patients' physical and emotional health, safety, or welfare. Or access to reasonably expected to do so. Acting in the manner that the board determines that they take when you stand there for constitutional competences, whereas that which is the advantage and evidence that results in harm or death of the patient, and finally, knowingly exceeding the scope of practice for respiratory care practitioner or any medical care. At an in-home care location, as a scope of practices defined by any responsible for the healthcare location. Those are the allegations for the staff category and administrative code that are missing.
Okay, thank you. Any questions?
Okay.
Roll call.
So the next part. We go to Mr. Garcia, who will now swear you in under the perjury, under penalty of perjury. Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you. So, to begin the interview, we will start with a summary of the case. And, go ahead.
Board Chair, members of the board. This is case number 2023-0061, that license was originally issued in June 2022.
Is that sound right?
My
license?
Yeah,
first license. September 11th, or no, August of 2012. September 2012.
Thank you very much. That license currently is currently set to expire on February 24th, 2025. Last reported is where they have. And this is a date back to January this year where we had like a healthcare that had changed.
Yeah, I submitted to you.
The case description is patient FG was a resident of Lifestyle Care here for quite some time. Bear with me for a second, please. I'm going to give a brief summary. The board had and just a little in the history of this, the board had reviewed this earlier this year and then asked staff to go request and receive additional records, which had been done. This complaint was originally received on October 5th, 2023. And it was presented to this board as a soft report for respiratory therapists. However, that was not my case. It stated that patient FG was a resident of Lifestyle Healthcare before his current employment with Lifestyle in March this year. And FG will be your full registration agent. Always very appreciative and thank you for any attention that you received from our reporting board at staff. She was not, Yes, yes, sir. Easily understood by my members that had such a new thing. Her son visited her nearly every day. It's also nice and appreciative of our body assistance. Sometime during summer, maybe June, July this year, she was nearly killed by a staff RPD signed by Jamie and Rick Johnson, which was trained by an Indian, and she was a high risk airway. Several patients have classified scheduled monthly trade training for calls. She was just visiting her immediately. I immediately pressed the code button and life-saving measures. EMS has called and was taken to the hospital where I was told by the ER physician to declare her injury that I have not been able to confirm her on the phone. However, I was told that she was taking a shot or she was still eligible for her. Whereas her forehead was stable on cool aerosol by trade masks. I was also told by the lady that her son is suing the facility. Our street frequency is still employed by her certified by the interview. Street frequency is little or more remand or punishment for this amendment. I feel very strongly that our street frequency is receiving some type of protection from management, but I have not been able to confirm this. Our street frequency has been reported several times by the director. However, I have not been able to reply by the interview. This event needs investigated, in my opinion. Our starting procedure should be not allowed to work in any facility that has actually come on long-term relationships. I wish you would remain honest at this point for your retaliation.
Any further questions? Okay, does it sound like it? So, Mr. Garcia, did you review the investigative record in this case in preparation for your appearance here today? And do you wish to make any opening remarks?
Yes, I did review the information. I'm aware of it. Any remarks I would make would just do this. So the personal attack on me, the investigation was done to the facility through all of our management, people that are competent, licensed, and aware of what happened to the respiratory care. So they did the investigation there. I was following protocol. This person that left this this letter about me, a lot of it is I assume I want, and it's a lot of what their opinion is in this statement, and a lot of it's not factual. In my previous sitting down with the board, I explained to them what had happened in detail, and I let them know I was following the protocol, why I had to change the trach because it was not being airway, I was not able to pass a hazardous suction on the patient. I went down through the protocol, going through a red robin, trying different modalities of suction to get the airway patent. It was not working. The last ditch effort to get a patent airway for that patient was to change the trach for the protocol facility. So that's what I did. Other than that, the patient was SAGI 99 on quarter sulfur percent. She was bleeding. It was managed at the time I knew report. I told the team, our team, to go ahead with any protocols that we do for a bleeding and trace site, medical aerosol, levine, cold saline, anything else you thought that was necessary. After this went down, I didn't hear anything more after that. I was on not really a suspension, but they did an investigation on me, and it took a while, and then when they came back, they deemed that I was following protocol. The patient did have a different type of airway, I would say, as far as not normal. And to keep the patient's airway open per protocol for the facility, this is the only reason why I attempted to change that trach, and I did change that trach. I did have other members, the ADOR, assistant director, was there with me. I wasn't doing it alone, as this person stated. Again, this is a very personal attack on me. They didn't like me very much there because they were holding people accountable for their job, doing oral care, changing how things that needed to be emptied and changed out. So they didn't really like me at target on that because I would speak up for the patients and I would advocate for the job being done right. So this is just a personal attack on me. I mean, I could see if the facility had found me doing something that, yeah, I would be here under religious circumstances, but I'm not here under religious circumstances. I feel this is just a personal attack. This person went out of their way to really just drag my name through the mud. I've been a respiratory therapist for over a decade in numerous high-skilled, high-care facility with critical care patients on life support, all trades. I've never had any problems with anybody dealing with anything that came across, crazy that came across my table. I was able to handle it. This instance was unfortunate and it saddens me, and I lost sleep and I've been really upset about this whole situation, the way it went down. But again, as I stated, I was following the protocol and doing what I was supposed to be doing to keep the patient's airway patent. I didn't feel like I did anything out of my normal scope of what I was supposed to be doing. And again, this is just somebody that has a personal vendetta against me that feels the authorities that looked over me and interviewed me and did this investigation. That wasn't enough for her. She wanted more blood. So she dragged my name to the board and wrote a pretty scalding letter in her own opinion about what happened. It's unfair to me. I love my job. I was called to respiratory. I didn't choose this job. It chose me. And everybody I see, my patients, they all get all my heart and all my care. Anybody that works with me can attest to that. And I'm here for the patients. And I'm doing the job that I was gifted to do for these people. Like I said, this is a life that I have. I don't know how to do anything else but respiratory care. I am passionate about my respiratory job, and I look forward to continuing working respiratory. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Board members, we'll now proceed with questions for Mr. Garcia. Does any board member have any questions for Mr. Garcia? Please make sure you state your name first so we know who's talking.
Hi, this is Laurie Bundy. I have a question. Are you still employed by Quasi Healthcare? And I'm sorry if you said so, I didn't quite get that.
No, ma'am, I am not. I am only employed at Peoria Post Acute in Peoria, Arizona. I moved across town, so I moved from Mesa to Sun City, so I got a new facility that's right next to me. And my supervisor was at my board meeting too. So if I was any kind of cost on a company or anything, I'm not being able to do the job, officially be doing the job.
Okay, thank you. So the next question was if you have any other additional remarks, which you just gave us a little bit more, but do you have anything else you'd like to tell us, Mr. Garcia?
Not at this time. Thank you.
Board, any other questions?
Sure. Can I ask one quick question?
Please do.
Thank you. Remind this patient is on the board emergency order on the ANEP to change the treasury. Can you enlighten more on why the trade rate changing from what was necessary?
Yes, well, now we're able to pass a catheter to the distal end of the trade. They could not see what was blocking the trade. They attempted to change their cannula and different methods of suction and still unable to get that trade to be patent. Upon which here, you know, the patient needed to have that pain narrowway. She was struggling just a little bit, oxygen, and pulling her memory to the water, but oxygen never was like below 90 or anything like that. That kind of alcohol. She was never in anything like that, but I just could not get that pain narrowway. So the protocol for the facility was, okay, if you can't get this, you can't change the trigger, I'm just going along with the trigger. And I can't see inside, so I went to further to change the trade for her in an emergency. With the ADOR was there to let her know this is what's going on. So we just tried to change the trade as best we could to get the patent airway, which we did get a patent airway, like I said, after that, just said then, but it did cause her to bleed, which is common bleeding when you change a trade. Hers was a little bit more than that, natural, just common. And then it subsided some, and then we were able to pass a catheter and suction and get her air solved. And she was stable by the end of oxygenation numbers. She was 99, but not bleeding.
Thank you. My friend, I was going to ask how some of the docs I've worked with this was, but I think they do need a scribe after there was a lot of blood.
There was no suction in there, yeah, suction out. The change did. When I left, after the change, it was bleeding, and then it started to subside after I was using lavage, cold saline, and then got her relaxed and stable in her bed sitting up. She was ingesting it.
Okay.
Airway opening, yeah.
Last thing for me, what would you have done differently if anything if this was not happening? Same thing happened that
day. On the emergency setting, you know, adrenaline's going and we're just trying to do airway. But if I came across the situation again, I would maintain that my patient was stable enough to buy me time to get her sick. If I can get her stable enough in time for me to get a biopsy on board to come pick her up and take her, then that's what I would have done.
And should she have sent out? I'm sorry, what was that sent out?
Yes, after.
What was the time frame she got sent out?
I'm not sure, it was after my shift. I passed the patient on as therapist during my shift, and sometime within those first few hours on the scene, she was sent out.
And do you know why she was sent out?
Well, they just stated that they were. I have an assumption of who that RT is. They're a very new RT, so I would assume them seeing that situation, maybe they panicked and they're like, I can't deal with this, send them out. I don't know, that's all assumptions. I can't speak for you.
Thank
you. Anybody else have any other questions? Okay, so now the board will now deliberate. Who would like to begin with deliberations? Please remember that the board wishes to take disciplinary action. We must adopt findings of fact, conclusion of law, and order. So what do we need to do here for this?
Chair Coda to the members of order and remembering we had to have your assistant attorney general member here, had to have my judgments, legally by judgments, we don't know the exact session for my advice. However, is this normal where the deliberation will occur and then we can have our association amongst yourself about whether or not you feel that the fact presented, the response, it's testimony, Our violations of that meeting, or not. This is where you have conversations with yourself about whether or not you think that statute of rules was violated, standard of care has violated, or the alternative is that if you think that your respiratory therapist has done everything or according to the statute of rules and standard of care, or do you, in the specific case, find out if they violated or should have anything. But this is where we're going to have that deliberation and discussion about the fact that they have front of them and the test testimony may have occurred.
Thank you. So, members of the board, any thoughts?
Sorry, do we have the actual order that shows that the patient was only supposed to have a trait changed by the ENT? Is that something that we have in our document?
Madam Chair, this is My memory of this review is that is actually the policy in our RCD per se from this. That's actually the policy for the calls in place at the hospital. And if memory serves, RTs can do that titration change if there's some reversion or emergency that occurs. It just gives us have a second person in the room. Even though that doctor was in some place.
And there wasn't a second person in the room?
There was a second person in the room.
They arrived for the testimony during that time, that time, the ADOR arrived. But when the emergence happened, I was the only one there. But that part, ADOR shortly arrived right during that time.
All right. Any other thoughts or discussion?
Board Member Marilyn, looking at potential violation. Based upon what I heard, can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay. Looking at the potential violation, ASR. ARS 32-35019, subset I, any conduct or practice is contrary, as well as 9 case violates or attempting to violate. The description, the greatest concern that I have is that I did not hear that he kept the patient's chart and going forth when asked what he would do differently. I did not hear mention that he would check the patient's chart before administering any care.
Yes, that would have to be checking that patient's chart in the right nursing care and making sure that it is.
So based upon those, it would be my recommendation to see a violation of those state law, ARS 32-35019, subset I and K. In addition to the rules of the organization where he works.
So on the question of it was the orders for changing the trach tube, if you want to look at page 22 on our notes, there was a note there that says the investigation concluded that Mr. Garcia followed current airway orders and policy at that time, if that helps.
Can you just update one more time, this is Becky, what our options are at this time again?
Sure, the federal member board. This is an informal interview. The The board is reviewing the evidence and discussing the report to determine whether or not the allegations, which were noticed in the formal review letter, are valid or not. The board has the full range of decision making available to them today. Everything from this dismissal, letter of concern, non-disciplinary action for communication, disciplinary action for probation, disciplinary action for reassessment, which also includes the disciplinary action for revocation of license. So you have,
they cannot suspend or revoke if they feel right like that.
My sister, this happens in every board member meeting that happens, whether it's Charlie or Shane's or Elizabeth or whatever. He's correct. I apologize. The informal interview cannot take this disciplinary action as a suspension of or revocation of license. You would have to refer to this after the administrative hearing for those more serious sanctions. Hopefully, I answered your question, board member Brimhall.
So, if you wanted to do a consent agreement, he would have to agree to it today, or we just vote on it and he has to comply with it?
Chair, the board member Brimhall, the board would also offer a consent agreement to him today. He would have to agree to that, but the board has the authority to do everything from dismissal up to, but not include suspension or revocation of the license that they have as an order. So you could actually order this disposition as long as it's not suspension or revocation of the license. Did I get that right?
Yes.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you for the certification.
Yep.
Any other deliberation or discussion? Okay, so would any board member like to make a motion?
Chair Cody, this is Charlie Elder. The first motion would be a discussion of and adoption of specific findings of fact.
I apologize, you're echoing really badly.
About that. How about now? Can you hear me now?
It's still about the same, I apologize.
And now? Any better?
One more time.
Hello, any better at this time? The first vote that would need to be taken is that findings of fact would have to be crafted and voted on through a motion, second, and roll call vote. Once the findings of fact are adopted, you would then need to go through the same process, identify the specific statutory or rule violations, and have a motion drafted to identify those violations by statute or rule member, a second, and a roll call vote from each of the members. Once that is adopted, you would then move to the disciplinary phase. Discussion would center around what discipline you wanted to impose. Once the discussion was completed, then you would call for a vote or a motion as to what particular discipline the board would be voting on. A second received, and then a roll call vote for that.
By my gender or anything from that, it was evidence that there did not rise to the level of disciplinary action, maybe dismissal or other contracts.
Certainly, during your discussion, while you might identify a specific set of facts which you believe were concerning and constituted a violation of statute or rule, you could then discuss amongst yourselves as to whether or not you thought that it was so egregious that it rose to the level of discipline. If it was agreed amongst you that it did not rise to that level, then you have available to you non-disciplinary actions that you can impose, including dismissal, letter of concern, or a non-disciplinary order for continuing education.
Thank you. And the one that had having in fact that includes involved or dismissal or whatever,
correct, except to the extent that they might want to dictate what was actually the focus of the letter of concern.
Okay, that being said, do any of our board members have anything to say at this time? Provided to us, it is, in my opinion, that it looks like he did follow protocol. Does anybody have anything different?
I think since he explained himself in a letter, and he explained himself again today to the board for the last, you know, probably hour. And I'm going to refer to the more of the therapists that were day to day. I think his intent was definitely in good cause that, you know, he did everything that he could have done and probably went overboard. That's all I have to say. Maybe somebody else can chime in.
Thank you for that, Becky. Anyone else?
I would like to just add, I agree with Becky that, you know, we are practicing respiratory therapy because he did everything that he thought he should do to save the patient and neglected to check the chart. Obviously, there should be some sort of consequences just because, you know, there should be with what happened and he's admitted he would check the chart again. Not sure there's continuing education on how to check a chart, but maybe we could recommend something. Obviously, respiratory is his life, and he feels called to be doing it. I would hate to see someone lose their license when he was doing everything possible to save the patient.
Thank you. So do we have a motion to do anything or?
I
going to need help with this, but how can I make a motion that there's a disciplinary action to achieve X amount of continuing education? That's something we can do.
This is Charlie Holder. You have the option to take a non-disciplinary track, determine that while there was a violation, it did not rise to the level of discipline, and impose non-disciplinary continuing education. Or if you want to make a finding of fact that he did not properly consult all the records, and that it does rise to a level of discipline, you would then find a violation of the statute or rule, and then you could impose a probation, which would require continuing education. It would essentially probably be the same order, except one would be disciplinary and the other would be non-disciplinary.
This is Board Member Marilyn. So if we do a referral, it would have to be a referral to the administrative hearing to determine which type of discipline, or are we able to make a motion for a recommendation of discipline?
At this proceeding, you have the ability to vote to dismiss, vote to issue a letter of concern, which is non-disciplinary, vote to impose a non-disciplinary order for continuing education. You could vote for censure, which is discipline. You could vote for a restriction on his license, which is discipline. You could vote for probation and dictate various terms. You could vote for a disciplinary censure, which would be essentially just identifying the problem, state that it was problematic and that a discipline was required, that being censured, but there would be nothing further that you would have to do because it does not contain terms. You could also issue a civil penalty up to $500 per violation, or you could refer the matter to formal hearing if you believe that it might be a situation where you would want to suspend or revoke the license. That is the monopoly of options that you have at this point.
So I think what the board was leaning towards, if I'm hearing everybody correctly, is they're looking more for the option of the non-disciplinary, and I apologize, there's just a legal list right now, the non-disciplinary with the mandatory CEUs added. Which one was that one again?
That particular option is found in ARS 32-35-53-G3. Issue a non-disciplinary order requiring the licensee to complete a prescribed number of hours of continuing education in an area or areas prescribed by the board, to provide the licensee with the necessary understanding of current developments, skills, procedures, or treatment. You can set a time limit by which he has to complete that education and provide proof of completion, or the matter will be referred on for discipline as a potential carrier person.
Thank you. Is that what it was sounding like you were kind of leaning towards, board members?
For board member Marilyn, that was not. I feel it's that some type of discipline should be a recommendation, even if it is discipline with additional training or some type of probationary thing. Mm-hmm. I think the discipline needs to be noted due to the seriousness of what occurred.
Okay.
Sure. We're going to have to get a motion for some kind of, it's a good idea to make a motion and see where all the board members are. whether it's rising above or below a disciplinary action. But I think we've had a discussion, I just don't know what to get the consensus on board is regarding that. Might make a motion or identify by all, see where we're going to go from there.
I agree, that's what I was trying to figure out. Anybody want to make a motion, please?
Board Member Marilyn, I have just one, prior to the motion, one additional question, where there's an option for restriction on license, with myself being newer to the board, I don't want to share how far a restriction on license would be, it could go. 90 days, 60 days, 6 months, because I believe the license is up in the February.
I can speak from an historical, someone of those historical perspective with the board or the orders that they should be previous with the preparation. Over the last 10 to 11 years, I remember the board issued one or two orders for restrictions of license, and they have almost always been a particular practice that is within the scope of respiratory care. For example, on the board issued years ago, a restriction on a respiratory therapist to not perform or conduct any practices on patients that were on ventilators until they had a training before they were allowed to treat the patients again. As far as the timeline, like that restriction, in the past, it has always been until the respiratory therapist has to do some kind of either evaluation or continuing education to be able to continue that particular part of the profession for respiratory care. But it's only one or two instances that I remember in our last year.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I just have to make a motion, but I might need help. Because echoing is really bad for me for some reason. So I'm having a hard time making out the double words. So I would like to make a motion that we do the non-disciplinary action with continuing education. Did I say that right?
Do you have a recommendation on what kind of education, how many hours, and what area?
I think it would be great for him to have it on trach care and documentation. Or is there something? There's courses. Someone help me out here.
The standard would be if those are the two. Chair, board members, if you're recommending non-disciplinary action, motion of a non-disciplinary action for continuing education in your area of recruiting and trade care, you could say that it is at least 1 hour or 3 hours in each area for a total of whatever that number is to be completed within X time, 30 days. 60 days, that was worth it. So your motion could be a motion for not necessary or complete the X number of hours in these two areas to be completed within 30 days of the effective date of non necessary order. And then see if there's a second, see if that gets to do a vote.
Okay. I'm really not sure how many hours. I'll just go for it. I'd like to make a motion for non-disciplinary action to include 5 hours of documentation CDU and 5 hours of trade care CDU to be completed in 30 days.
I'll second that motion. So we have a motion and a second. Roll call vote, please.
Member Cota?
Aye.
Member Brimhall?
Aye.
Member Leadley?
Aye.
Member Maryland?
Nay.
Motion carries.
So the board would go to a non-disciplinary action for continuing education in two different areas. Total 10 hours, 5 hours of record-keeping slash documentation, 5 hours of trade care to be completed in, what was it, 30 days? 30 days. And just as my eyes were, when we send these out, we normally have some template language in there that these hours are in addition to that which is normally required. So our starting peaker certainly would not use these same hours or renewal in that area. And it also will include language, if it's not happy with them, that's your time frame, what happens and what the effect is if it was not compliant with that ever. Do you have any other
answers? No.
Thank you very much. That gives it any case. Thank you very much. Thank the board. I think that concludes the case portion of our agenda. Unless I'm missing anything.
I hope you're correct that covers that. Okay. And I think our next section would be executive director report.
With your permission, I'll give you a quick overview of some of this stuff. As far as our investigations, part of our consensus review was that they had a lot of draft act 2022 and determined how many open cases we have currently in that in the process of doing that. We took a large chunk out of that today. So you're going to see more of that next month. Probation reports, we don't have anybody on probation right now. How many have we had?
193 in process.
So yeah, we have 190 applications a little bit. We are renewing licenses on a daily basis. And I'll have more specific reports and follow up on that next month. The financial report reporting that with the Census Resource Bureau yesterday, they didn't know myself did it. And we are in track right now. We have an estimate of about $40,000 that will not be spent by the end of the fiscal year here on our appropriation. So we're looking pretty good fiscally. I don't have any other specifics on that. If you have a question, And the last thing is the Sunset Revenue Tracking Spreadsheet. We have been directed by the Auditor General to put into place a management plan to cure all deficiencies that they found out in their last report. They needed a nice enough draft, those management spreadsheets, and we will provide that to you next month. The only other thing about Sunset Review is there is going to be, now that elections are done, I'm sure establish their meetings in their chairs. I expect that the joint committee will be looking at the Sunset Review for regular care, either in December or early January. So we'll have some legislation to follow up as far as our Sunset Review and performance on that is completed in September. I don't have anything further unless the board has any questions on any of that quick summary stuff.
No questions from me. Anyone else?
none from me.
Next two board meetings, if you don't mind, my chair, I'm going to move to the next item. Board meetings going to be scheduled for December 19th and January 16th. We will work on the audio stuff that's happening in this boardroom. It has been compromised since they put this equipment in it. My apologies, union, everybody on the audio for the problem with the audio. But hopefully we can have in-person meetings December 19th and January 16th. I know everybody has things going on and these are easy. If we get the audio stuff up, we can have more virtual meetings in the future. So please try to get me in person. Other than that, I don't have anything else today.
Okay, thank you very much. We already got a call to the public at the beginning, so from here on, I guess we'll just make a motion for adjournment.
Is anybody else here for agenda anything? Anybody else want to address this board? Everybody's raised your opinion and education? Okay, thank you, Chair Carrico. Please proceed with the adjournment.
Okay, so we will proceed with the adjournment. Make a motion in a second, or?
Yes.
We'll make a motion for adjournment. Okay, we have a motion in a second. Roll call.
Member Cota?
Aye.
Member Brimhall?
Aye.
Member Leedley?
Aye.
Member Maryland?
Aye.
Thank you, Board Member Maryland, for your first meeting. I apologize for the communication stuff that I've had last meeting.
Thank you very much. Have a good day.
11:12 a.m.